Donald Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are you guys doing this week?
It is hot out, and I thought it was going to be autumn, and it's not.
No. It's cold here.
It's cold here. Yeah. I'm so sorry to say it.
It's coming your way, I guess.
Please.
It is. My parents said it is. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I mean, they don't live where you do, but the whole East Coast is really, I'm just like, the weather goes that way.
Delaware, Boston, it's all kind of
They're only 7 hours apart or so.
Yeah. I'm having one of those days where, like, you know when you sleep really bad and then your whole body is, like, not doing well, where you're like, I feel kind of nauseated and, like, off. It's not a good situation.
The timestamps I've been seeing from you on some of these messages have not been great. I'll say
it's
that.
It's not been great. Well, my air conditioner broke on Saturday of the long weekend, so I didn't have, like, the best sleep weekend of my life, I would say, but, you know,
because you guys were getting that same heat wave that we were, right?
It was quite warm, yeah, but I thought Monday night I could sleep in the basement maybe and it'd be cooler, but it was a full 77, 78 degrees in the basement, which was not great.
Not
so
good.
I just sweat all night, so, yeah. I'm leaving Leah little nice comments at 3:30 in the morning. It's good stuff.
That's a good use of your time at the very least. Speaking of leaving nice comments for Leah, our beloved co-host was a guest on One Nation Radio this week. Leah, you want to talk to us about your time in the land of the men?
Well, you guys had to coddle me through both before and you had to provide a lot of aftercare. So, you know, big ups to you guys.
Cut this. Cut.
The most normal way to say that, yeah.
Absolutely cut it. Get it off the pod.
Producer Marjorie, take it away.
Did you have fun on your field trip?
I did. I did have a lot of fun. I think someone described it as making contact with the move guys.
It was real handshake across the aisle, real United Nations kind of. You did great. It was a lot of fun. I love Rich and James. They're great.
They're so great. And they're so funny and they're so knowledgeable. And there was a couple times where I was like, the amount that they can keep in their heads. What did I ask them? Oh, before the show, he was like, James was like, well, I was watching a basketball game at the same time. So like, there's a lot of stuff like I should go back and rewatch, but I probably won't. I never rewatch anything. And I was like, how do you remember like things?
How do you know
seen?
Things?
And he was like, oh, well, I just remember them. And I was like, wow.
Simply with your powerful brain, you remember things? Wow. What's
so
that
amazing?
Like?
I can't imagine.
Huge kudos
I can't imagine.
To them.
But yeah. I got to flat out ask them the question that we've been dying to ask, which is can you explain to me why you hate Better Than You, Baby, without using the word bloodline? And James did pull a little swerve where he then explained to me WCW, which I thought was a little bit of cheating. But he did eventually like get to a place where I do feel like I understand it better. So I don't know if you guys, if listeners, if you are interested in Move Men, I had a good time.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
I did have a very, very funny moment where they were like, and do you want to, you know, share your last name? And I was like, no. I am a woman on the internet and in a fandom full of really rancid people. No.
I think it's good for us that we have identities in the void of the internet, and that's just where they live. And you just know us as Allie, Ann, and Leah. Those fun-loving girls. Those freewheeling girls.
It's so funny for like to be like asked like do you want to like plug like an account? And it's like, oh, just Tunnel Talk. That's literally the only way you can access us.
Anywhere you get your podcast.
The only thing we'll ever leverage this podcast into is another podcast in which we also won't share our
We're really out here clout chasing, girls.
When we turn this pod into a hashtag van life pod, you're all gonna love it.
Hell yeah. Oh guys, I got my mattress topper for the setup is really coming along, which is good because I'm leaving town pretty soon actually. So. It's gotta come along a little faster. But Leah, thank you so much for representing us, for reaching across the aisle. We're here to build those build understanding among different subgroups of fans. So important.
important.
We're ambassadors. Yeah.
Ambassadors for horny women. We need to get out there and say, men, we love listening to your show, but you're rarely talking about what makes you horny.
I think we're adding valuable information to the space, to be honest with you.
If there's anything we've learned from our listeners, it's that many are asking for what we are providing. So, anyway, let's get into the big news. Oh, guys, we're having fun. Let's get into the big news of the week. CM Punk got fired.
CM Punk got fired. It's insane that was this week, because I feel like I have watched so much wrestling since then. It's just been hours of wrestling. It can't have just been Saturday.
I told Anna and Leah when I was making the schedule today, I said, I feel like I fell into a grain silo and I'm drowning in matches and I cannot get out. I'm just getting sucked deeper and deeper.
Did you read the book where someone drowns in a grain silo?
No.
I feel like Gillian Flynn wrote a book that had a grain silo drowning.
I just watched like a video about it recently or something. It's really scary.
It's quite dark. Yeah.
The physics of what happens in there with the grain, it's really bad, and you can die.
You don't want to feel that way, yeah.
No, because you think you couldn't drown, you would just be able to create space around yourself, but that's not the case. And that's what I thought going into this week of wrestling. I couldn't drown. I'll be able to create space, but that's not the case.
Wrestling just kept coming down on top of you, filling all that space. Yeah,
I feel a little bit like the Marge Simpson meme where I'm like, guys, can we cheer up a little?
We're really, 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 really happy that CM Punk finally got fucking fired. We're so happy.
Where were you guys when you found out?
Oh.
I was at the pool and got a little message from you. Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like that was a very 9/11 question. Like, where were you when you found out about 9/11?
It was, but I was at the Minnesota State Fair eating cheese curds when I found out. I think I might have been checking my phone in line for the bathroom, which is a little less picturesque, but...
I was about to go to a barbecue that was full of like normal people who wouldn't really care, and I had like a platter in my arms when when Sarah texted me and said CM Punk got fired, and I almost dropped the platter on the floor and like had to like rejigger the whole thing, and I was like, and then I had to go spend 2 hours with normal people instead of like reading people shit posting on the internet. It was very difficult.
I was out for the whole day at the fair, and I had a really nice time at the fair, and I ate some great food and drank some great drinks. But when I got home, I feasted.
Just staring at that AEW post that was like so brutal and being like, this is on the official, this is real from the official real AEW. And then I like decided I was going to watch Collision because I was home. I was like, why not? I'll turn it on, see what's up. And it was like, and then Tony Khan's out there in one of his hostage videos also saying it to everyone.
I think he's really practiced.
He's really trying with those videos.
Yeah.
And they still come off as hostage videos, but you can tell he's putting in effort. And he went out there in front of the Chicago crowd.
I mean, good for him.
You got to give him credit for that. There's very few things I'm willing to give him credit for. The fact that he did it before the pay-per-view and was willing to do it himself, it is something.
Yeah. And walked out there at Collision and like got his head boot off. Yeah, I mean, good for him.
It would have been so funny if he sent out his emotional support Adam Cole to do it.
He didn't even bring his emotional support Adam Cole to do it. It's incredible.
He was flying solo. What a brave boy.
Look who grew a little bit of a spine this weekend.
Grima Wormtongue is defeated.
Oh my God.
Grima Wormtongue never like lunged at Theoden, did he? And you know, kind of dropped monitors on his head or anything?
I think he did have actually a final kind of like lunging creature moment. And then he was vanquished, and then Theoden had gotten so old looking, but suddenly his normal youthful middle-aged appearance returned. Right. And Tony, I thought, looked in pretty good spirits at the scrum on Sunday. Yeah. He looked like a man who had come out of a a very dark place.
Yeah. Well, you know that feeling when you're like trying to make a relationship work and you know it's not working, but you're like, mm-hmm. you don't want to call it. But then when it's over, you're like, oh, thank God. Like, that was taking up a lot of my energy.
Yeah. Well, it was quite interesting to just, now that the rain has gone and we can see clearly, it was interesting to just think, like, how much time and mental energy were you spending on this for the past year that you haven't been able to spend on other shit? And you have, like four jobs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, booking the show well. Like, suddenly, like, well, this, like, the vibes were way better. Like, Collision was a ton of fun. There were, like, all these people on it who'd never been on it before. And I was like, oh, wow, like, can see, you know, these guys over here. Like, that's a good time. And then Dynamite had lots of interconnections, seemed very well crafted.
Oh, Dynamite fucking killed this week. This was an amazing episode of Dynamite. I thought, do it like this every week with when you can book in a normal way and you don't have a lunatic in the corner like causing problems, you can do such fun stuff. Like this episode of Dynamite, they did all these things where you'd come into a segment on one storyline and then transition into a match and then transition out on another storyline. It was like, yeah, this is great. I just keep watching. I don't have an opportunity to get up and leave, and I like it.
Yeah. It's all one interconnected universe. They all know each other. Yeah. Felt great.
You've captured me. Tony, for a change, you've captured me. I'm really happy. I really don't like that man, and I really liked reading what Freddie Prinze Jr. said about him on his podcast today.
It's very satisfying. Funny. I think that every wrestler he talks to is like, yeah, I'd love to, but not if Punk's there. If Punk's there, absolutely not. I will not.
I know, and just to bring it up out of nowhere is the implication that they're like, I know that one thing that easily could happen is that you could try to hire CM Punk. And what I'm telling you is, no, don't do that.
That's my one condition. Yeah, you didn't bring him up, but it's on my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Absolutely wild. And that man has been doing terrible art for so long now, like ever since he really started spiraling. It's just
For a minute, I thought you meant Freddie Prinze Jr. I was like,
no, I have no complaints about Freddie Prinze Jr.'s art at all. Yeah. CM Punk.
I could probably come up with some, but I'm mostly fine with it.
I was reading that Reddit post about the Freddie Prinze Jr. podcast, and I was laughing because, like, another part of the things he was saying was, you know, like, CM Punk was also like kind of a douchebag to him too, like personally. Yeah. And like in the comments, people were like, and there's no reason for him to lie. He's got Scooby-Doo money.
That was so funny. Also, I like hadn't even realized that Freddie Prinze Jr. like wrote for WWE, but can you imagine, like, he was like a big star at one time and you're just like a wrestler back there and you're just being a dick to Freddie Prinze Jr. for no reason.
For
like,
what? Yeah.
For what?
It's crazy. For what? He's just a little guy.
The most harmless man on earth, possibly.
I also think that what we should actually be saying about Freddie Prinze Jr. is not he has Scooby-Doo money. It's he has Sarah Michelle Gellar money.
Yeah. That's where his the side his bread is buttered on. Yeah, for sure.
Thank God they're still together.
It's honestly so heartwarming. And Alexis, Willow, and Wesley from Buffy are also still married, which is pretty wild.
Really?
Denisov?
Yeah. Denisov? I think. And Allison Hannigan? Yeah.
Look at that.
Denisov and Allison Hannigan still together.
Eat shit, James, that. From ONR. I can have a memory too.
Never rewatched it.
Yeah. That was a joke, James, from ONR. I love you a lot.
Yeah. You guys have any other big picture thoughts about the week in wrestling, the departure of CM Punk, our bright new future?
I just felt like the vibe was that everybody had been walking around with weight belts around their stomach and that they'd mostly gotten used to it and it was fine. Like, nobody was like limping or anything, but like it was happening. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I can take this off. Oh, walking is so nice. Did you know that walking is nice? I feel so late. Like, that was just, there was a little bit of a skip in everyone's step, and that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was how I felt watching the pay-per-view, too. Like, as a viewer, was just like, wow, it's really nice to just not be worried about like, to not have this feeling of, like, I'm going to get really sour at some point during this.
Yeah. Right. And it's crazy, too, that it's now like, oh, there's 2 hours of collision that we could use for anything, and not just people in the bunker who, like, you know, shine punk shoes enough or whatever. Like, the Dark Order could be over there doing fun stuff every week. Incredible.
Now, I have an idea for those 2 hours. We rebrand Collision. It's the Ricky Stark Show. And it's all Ricky all the time. Now, how does that sound to you? Guys, I love my co-hosts don't even want to goof with me about it. That's a joke. Because we're all pretty fed up with Ricky right now. But guys, he needs that push. He needs a two-hour push every week.
A push. And I really feel like if he just gets to wrestle one more top guy, it'll finally click.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll click.
It's really unfair how they won't let him wrestle the top guys. How he hasn't wrestled every top guy.
He's just trying to get at those top guys. They won't let him. Well, we'll get to Ricky or we won't. Let's start out tonight by talking about Mommy's Little Baby Orange Cassidy, who main evented All Out against Jon Moxley. He did finally lose his international title, but not before giving everything he had, bleeding profusely, just really getting taken out. So we had a moment at the end of the pay-per-view where Mox and the BCC left. Mox had the belt, but we got this big ending moment that was OC alone in the ring with the crowd chanting, "Thank you, Orange," at him. Mm-hmm. And then off air, best friends came out and they had a bunch of hugs and they walked him out. OC also opened Dynamite this week, so we got the same long, insane chants, freshly squeezed, "Thank you, Orange." And he said, "They told me to stay home, but I didn't want to. I'll be here every week, whether I'm wrestling or not." As he left from giving this promo, Mox was entering for his first title defense, which was against AR Fox. So we got this long lingering shot of OC paused on the ramp, listening to Mox's entrance music, which was very interesting. And then he also had a little interaction with Darby and AR Fox as they came out. AR Fox, of course, recently attacked him really rudely, but has been forgiven for his behavior by Darby. What do you guys want to talk about?
What don't I want to talk about? I feel like, can I get a point for having called that OC was going to lose it?
You can have half a point.
Half.
You can have a half a point.
I thought it was a great match. I really feel like he got me a couple times where I was like, maybe he is going to pull this off. Like, maybe he is, like, he really seemed strong. And, like, you know that Mina Coletta, that artist on Twitter who did that comic where, like, OC has, like, a demon inside him and the demon makes him keep getting up and wrestling more. And his lazy slacker persona is his fighting against the demon. That's what that match was. Like, there was just something inside him that just kept making him get up again. And I was like, he really looked strong and, really good.
When he flipped Mox off at the end, that was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was crazy to me that this was maybe not meant to be the main event the whole time, because, like, it was just such main event material and it was so intense. And it was so interesting to watch OC, like almost becoming Mox, where it's like he's the one bleeding, he's flipping him off. He did Mox's back scratch and bite move. It was so hardcore.
It is insane to think about it not being the main event. I agree, especially because the crowd, like, clearly wanted that moment so much that was, like, the end of the night is just this guy alone in the ring and us being like, "You fucking rock. Mm-hmm. You're so good." Like, they didn't want to do that for anyone else. They wanted to do it for OC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt very emotional that they gave him that moment, that even though he was the loser, it was like, we're going to leave him out there to really, like, celebrate his thing. And it also felt very, like, to have it the day after Punk got fired, where it's like it's been a really rough year for the company. And Mox obviously people talk about all the time as, like, carrying the company all this time, but, like, OC has also been carrying the company this whole time, like, really intensely. And it was like, to have these two guys main event, it felt really good.
How mm-hmm. long did he end up having the belt for? It was most of the past year, right? It was
like 300 I don't know.
I think he won it like in October, maybe. So yeah, almost a year.
Because it was before Pac lost it before the Bucks came back, so it would have been before mm-hmm. full gear, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was just great. It was really, really great, and it was. I think that he would be perfectly justified if he wanted to take some time off, and hopefully he will have like a little bit of a rest and recuperation for his body so we can get him back doing strong wrestling again. But I love that they had him out there again this week. Yeah. And it was, many people have talked about like sometimes with AEW, like a big thing will happen and you don't get a big follow up or you don't get a push afterwards or, you know, mm-hmm. this felt like a really clear statement of like, no, this is a top guy now, which of course, like, you know, the match with Mox was saying that too. And like Mox did that, doing that thing where he crossed himself mm-hmm. before he did that final move, like to be like, this, it's so, I'm going to have to be so mm-hmm. brutal to take you down, was a clear, like from Mox, an indication, like you're one of the best.
I really loved it too. Cause like sometimes people would talk about like Roosh maybe taking it off him, and like Roosh is great, like whatever. But to me, it like felt so much better to have it took Moxley to take it off him, and Moxley had to go like harder than he wanted to go. You know, it was just like really elevating OC, which was.
Well, I think the
so
longer
good.
The story went on, the more it felt like, okay, well, it does have to be someone big to me. Yeah, so someone big or someone
That's
significant. Like it couldn't just be someone else who is really good, but he doesn't have like a specific relationship with, or doesn't have like the cachet.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the problem with belts, is right. Like you want a belt to go to someone who either can do something for the belt or the belt can do something for them. And like OC, it was kind of both ways. Like he elevated that belt, but I also think like him defending it really got him a lot of flowers. And so it had to be someone strong to take it off him. But the thing is that like Mox doesn't really need the belt, and like the belt doesn't really need to be elevated further. So I guess I'm kind of hoping that like Mox's reign is not that long, which I don't think it will be, but I'm very interested to see like who can take it off of Mox.
That will be really interesting.
You said something interesting about this that I'd also been thinking about, because OC did an interview this week where he talked about like wanting to use the belt to elevate, like, you know, the guys that he'd, you know, been on Dark with and kind of come up with even just through AEW, and seeing it as like a place to showcase people. And you can,
it was such a sweet interview. Yeah, no,
it was
just
a great
saying
interview.
He wanted to use the belt to like really raise up other people on the roster. And so then to see like, oh, we're also like, we're starting Dynamite with OC, like we have so many times, but then the first match is Mox with the international belt, and he's got AR Fox out there. Like Mox kind of continuing that tradition kind of felt really good too.
Yeah.
And I think they were both like so generous with each other. Like the promos that they were giving that were during Collision before the pay-per-view were really, really nice.
Yeah. It's just nice. It's feel good stuff. We like to feel good. That's one thing you probably know about us. And I'll also say, I said we got to get back to our roots. The men's bodies looked really good in this match. I
really
love their
good.
Bodies.
Yeah.
I love their powerful, small, and somewhat larger bodies.
Yeah, covered in blood, taken to the limit. Yeah.
Gushing blood.
It's a good look.
Absolutely gushing blood.
I mean, it was repulsive. He kept having to wipe his eyes, and he'd leave like a little pale spot, because it's like, you can't see if you've got blood in your eyes.
That moment where he got dumped behind the announcer's desk, and Excalibur just kept being like, there's a puddle. He left a puddle. There's a puddle of blood. This guy. And he just like really like the voice was like, can someone come wipe it up?
Biohazard by the announcers.
Can someone help me?
I like the idea of Excalibur being like, this is good commentary. Like it's fun. It's zesty. But also I'm not kidding. Like get over here. And everyone is just like, you're so funny. You're doing a great job.
The other thing that I think is also very, very funny is that, like, it's clear, like, I'm sure he knew that that promo he gave before, like, on last week's Dynamite was gonna fucking rule, but the fact that this week he slowed down and said, I don't have a catchphrase, and, like, a very cadenced way where he was like, all right, crowd, you got to learn something. And the crowd was like so ready. Like, yeah, no, we'll have, give us one more and we'll have it down. We'll have it down for you. Don't you worry.
I think that friend of the pod, Sarah, might be the one who said this too, but that the way he said hey at the beginning of that promo, she was like, he's going to do that every time. That's so good.
The crowd responded well because they all yelled hey back, like as though the pastor had just said, how is everybody doing this morning?
Without a single hesitation, as if they knew he was going to do it. It was perfect. It was a really good crowd. I know it'll come up other times, but it was a very good crowd.
It was great. It was Indianapolis.
Went hard. Yeah. Midwest.
He killed it. And I mean, it was such a good show, but they took it to the next level.
Yeah.
Okay, let's briefly check in on what was going on in the women's division this week. I'm sorry to lump them all in together, but they get so little time that it's like, well, we're going to speed run them. I'm sorry, girls. Toni Storm is still doing this absolutely insane gimmick that we love. And
it's so
this
funny.
Week she said, chin up, tits out, and watch out for the shoe. And once again, threw a shoe at Renee. I think she said next week she's going to let us into her life a little. I'm desperate to know if we're going to see what she and Juice Robinson are getting up to at home.
Honestly, this character, like for quite a long time there, I was like, Toni Storm and Juice Robinson being married makes no sense to me. But now that she's doing this character, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
They are very clearly a couple that does bits at home. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's just like,
those
are
some freaks.
Yeah.
And especially since they're just both getting weirder and weirder. Like I know that Juice Robinson was already animal, so he's weird. But now, just the way he was moving his body during All Out and what he was wearing, I was like, he's like baby animal. Like he's a baby Muppet in a grown man's body and he's wrestling in front of me. It's honestly amazing. Do you think that she could, I thought she could do a little spooky season tie-in with this gimmick.
Yeah.
And I think she could take it to kind of a, I think, and you said Haunted Mansion, that any kind of place like that.
She's really
in there.
And she's doing this vague, like, I don't even remember what I did. Like, just very spaced out, like, crazy Black Widow thing. That's amazing.
And there's also a little, like, Allie, you just watched Death Becomes Her. That she can also pull off, a really, dry kind of absurdity. Yeah.
That movie is insane.
It's insane.
I've never seen it, but when you were talking about it, I was like, wow, I guess I need to.
You should watch it at a time when you're in a very good mood and you don't need to track something very closely, but you're ready to let something happen to you. Because it doesn't entirely add up, like, a lot, and it's insane, but it's so fun.
I just thought it was, just had this, I used to see it in the video store a lot as a kid, and I just thought I knew what it was about and didn't read anything about it before I started watching it. I was just like, oh, it's on this platform, so I'll watch it. And I got like half an hour in and was like, okay, I don't know what this is about. And I'm really startled by most of what's happening. So that's kind of a recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay. Sheeta, Toni, and Britt are having, they're in another title eliminator match. Nyla is in there too. But this is kind of crazy, right?
It wasn't until you pointed this out in the schedule that I was like, oh, yeah, why are we doing this almost exact thing again? It didn't occur to me.
We got to cycle in and out some people here because it's wild.
When you look at when you put all the women's matches together over like that we've had over the past week and you look at it, it's like when you search for a song on Spotify and you get like 100 different remixes of the song where you're like, these are all, they're not the same, but they are the same though, actually.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a little,
I know.
It's like, every time we get like Chris or Nyla or Emmy out there, I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
This
it's
is
a,
so exciting, yeah.
A woman
yeah.
that I like that I haven't seen in a full year or whatever.
I know. I've written here, we have more women, right? Don't we have more women? I just think we do. We saw them recently. Well, that's the next thing that I was going to say is, so on Collision, we got a women's trios that was Ruby, Soraya, and Toni versus Britt, Sheeta, and Chris. And then it All Out in the Zero Hour, we got a trios, which was Sheeta, Sky Blue, and Willow versus Athena, Diamante, and Mercedes. I am a women's trios evangelist now.
Yeah.
I must, if you're not going to let the women out there that much, which we can't relitigate at this time, I like when I get six of them at once and I get to watch them interact in different configurations and I learn things and think things about them that are different than I would if they weren't interacting with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really adds a lot. And these ones were a ton of fun. And like Athena had like Billy Starks out there. It was like you even got bonus women besides the six in the match. Like, yeah.
I will also say that the team of Athena, Diamante, and Mercedes is a personal win for me. Like that is.
Those are some hunks. Yeah.
Say more. Leah, speak on it.
That's a trio I would like to be teamed by.
Wow.
This one's going to be marked explicit. That is so true. That's so true, Leah. Okay. Let's see more women all at once. That's what I would say. And then finally, we got to see Chris fight Ruby at All Out, and she fought Emi Sakura on Dynamite. Both matches I thought were really good. I am not super gung-ho on Ruby right now, and I'm not sure it's fully her fault because we just got to wrap. I mean, I guess we're kind of wrapping it up, but we keep not really wrapping it up. The Outcast thing got to get fully wrapped up, and
we got to move on to a new gimmick.
Yeah. But I thought it was they fought a number of times. I thought this was an especially good match. But then this match versus Emmy on Dynamite,
I was
losing it. I was like, this is what I want to watch.
So good.
This is what I want to watch. They're really fighting. Like, it looks so cool and natural and organic and powerful. Yeah. And they both look so strong,
so tough. Like, it was like two hunks just going at each other. Yeah, and you don't get it from the women that much.
They didn't seem conscious of the camera. They weren't playing to, like, the camera at all. You just got the vibe that they were, like, focused on each other. And they were circling each other. And Emmy has this really great way about her where she just seems, like, she's a heel, but she's cruel. You know what I mean? Like, she genuinely seems like she would enjoy shredding Chris if she could just get Chris to hold still long enough, you know? And I love that. It's like a very interesting dynamic. And like, you know, Chris doing her thing where she's just like, I am so strong. Like I could bench press all of you.
Well, they both did some feats of strength in that match that were like, cause I think Emmy also held Chris like straight up for like a long time.
She did.
Time.
Yeah. A vertical suplex.
Wow.
Oh, Alexandra. Yeah.
Someone's going to write in and be like, no,
like,
it wasn't.
That's not what it was. Yeah. But you said it so confidently. I believe it.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that's definitely in the vicinity of what happened.
It's a vertical something for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Leah, do you want to check in? You had mentioned you were interested in discussing kind of Chris's gimmick. What's going on with her right now?
I made a point on ONR that they did not really seem to get behind. So I wanted to get you guys' point.
So I listened and fully agreed with you. So
Thank you so much. Do you think, so Chris started as the alien thing. And then like when she, around the time where she was fighting with Layla Hirsch. She like did that thing where she was like, I'm not an alien anymore. I'm like cool, like regular girl. And then she went away, and then she came back, and she, like her first like couple appearances, she was like, "I'm a cool regular girl," and then like she just now is like, "I'm fucking Zoolander." And it's like the vibe is sort of like she's like, "Ugh, everybody's telling me I need to be like, you know, the glittery eyeshadow girl person, but I'm just so weird, and I can't contain the fact that I'm so deeply weird."
I think that's right, and I'm like, please be weird.
Please be weird. Please I'd rather you be weird. I'd rather her be Zoolander or an alien or whatever weird shit. I want her to hang out with best friends. I want her to be allowed to be weird, and I think every once in a while she's like, oh, I'm supposed to do, like, this thing, and I should be doing this thing, but then she, like, breaks out again, and I'm like, I do love
I know.
It.
It's so good because she is just like deeply weird as a personality and such like a fun, positive, like her lizard and everything else going on with her. And there's so much more pressure on women to not be weird than there is on men. Like, I always think one time, like my freshman year of college, like we did stuff with like our brother Floor, and like they did a little skit for us where they all like dressed up as another guy on the floor and you could tell who they were, but they were like, you know, wearing funny clothes or like doing the dumb little wave the one dude was. And I was like, that was very funny, but we could never do that as a floor, because if you ever pointed out a girl's eccentricity, she would immediately have to stop, like be devastated and stop it. You know what and I mean? Really, where it's like,
Especially at that age. Like, I think,
For sure. When you're 18, it's like,
die.
Right. But it was like, oh, we're not allowed to be little freaks the way that they are, which is just, I mean,
I know. And that's, I think that's why I appreciate the freaks on AEW, you know, like I love Chris and Emmy and Abaddon and you know what I mean? Like all the ones, like even the bunny, like she can be, she can do the conventional thing, but like in this very unnerving way where you're like, something's not right in her upstairs at all.
She's got such a specific psycho girl personality. That's so good. But yeah, it's like whenever anyone breaks out of like, just having to be like the sexy girl for TV or whatever, it's just so refreshing.
I know. Even just like the pose on the ramp, if you do something different when you're, and you're part of your entrance thing, it's so noticeable instead of doing the one sexy pose that everybody does.
It's just, it sucks that I'm sure that women are being both being told to like be sexy and appealing, and also we're socialized to be like, we are supposed to be sexy and appealing. And I know that male wrestlers think they have to be sexy and appealing too, but the way that people think of sexiness in men is different than the way they think about sexiness in women. And men can be like, I'm raw and strong, and people will be like, that's sexy. But women,
they can be out there being juice, and there's not really a female equivalent that can go far being baby animal from the Muppets with their hair doing that, you know?
Like, and I mean, this is why we're more interested in Tony than we ever have been, because I'm like, oh, whatever you're doing is really unhinged.
Suddenly, this is weird.
Suddenly I found something I can cling to here.
But I think it's interesting. Like, we were briefly talking this week about like the evolution of Orange Cassidy, and we can't even get into the whole thing. David Bixon's band was saying something pedantic about it that drove me crazy. But it's like, you know, one thing I was thinking about was like, well, yeah, the Orange Cassidy character took a long time to work, but like he really thought that it would, and it felt true to him, and it was what he wanted to do. So he stuck with it, and look at the guy now. Like,
yeah, it's wild.
Look, Ma, he made it. It's like, I think that, especially with the women, it's like you have so much less time, and obviously like they're not on the indies, she's on TV. It makes sense that there's like probably a lot of pressure to be like, do something that definitely will just be normal and fine, as opposed to like stick with being a freak. And but it's like, she got over being a freak. Please be a freak.
Please,
we love when you're so weird. And I love that Ben Stiller tweeted at her about that.
That's wonderful. It's fantastic.
Not only did she tweet at him, she then screenshotted his reply and like posted it, I think, both to her Instagram story and her grid. And I was like, she's so over the moon. Good for her.
Good for her. Fantastic.
Okay, let's move on to talking about what little Darby was up to this week. So, Anne, you watched Collision. I got pretty confused because I definitely watched some stuff on Collision, but I can't. Well, we can't get into it. So what did Darby say about Aero Fox?
So basically Nick Wayne was like, Darby, what the hell? Like, he, you know, beat me up and you forgave him. And Darby's explanation was that he had had a falling out with Nick's father, Buddy Wayne, back in the day. He wouldn't forgive him. They wouldn't make up. And actually that Buddy Wayne died before they like reconciled, which apparently might be a shoot thing. I feel like maybe Meltzer was saying. So he was basically like, so it's important to forgive people because they could die. So
that's true. That is true.
So it was like, I was glad they were addressing it to me. I don't know if it, well, I think just like when it happened, it was such an abrupt swerve. Based on, no pun intended, based on the backstage stuff, it felt a little out of nowhere, but at least they're like trying to.
Yeah, I like that. Because I think the first time we saw the three of them together, Nick Wayne wasn't Or no, when Nick and Darby ran in to save AR Fox, Nick didn't respond enough. I'm glad that they're putting a wrinkle between Nick Wayne and AR Fox.
Yeah.
Because it genuinely would have been wild if Nick just accepted it.
Yeah.
So. And I like that really they're going on.
Yeah.
He not only got really beat up, but then AR Fox was wearing his t-shirt, like his tank top for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Pretty nasty. Yeah.
It's nice that they are using it as like an ongoing wedge where Christian is going to be able to maybe detach Nick Wayne from Darby. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm quite interested in it. So we did get a little more of that dynamic on Dynamite. Nick Wayne at one point was watching Darby like be nice to Air Fox on the monitor backstage. He does have a dead dad, and he was alone, unaccompanied. So Christian did immediately hone in on
him. AEW should start assigning backstage chaperones to any fatherless sons backstage. So like, they can't be left alone back there. It's not safe.
I love the idea of, like, it's like Christian gets, like, within 5 feet, and then the security guard steps out and is like, sir, you know the rules. Sir, you know the rules. I'm going to need you to back off now.
At least 50 feet away. At the scrum, Christian just came in and said, so how's everybody's dad's doing? Which is so funny.
Wrestling is great.
I mean, that man's doing good work.
Nyla said something like she walked by Christian backstage and Christian was grinning and she immediately pulled out her phone and called her dad and made sure it was okay.
So funny.
So at the end of Darby and Nick Wayne main event to Dynamite, fighting each other in the first round of this Grand Slam championship to see who's going to fight MJF at Grand Slam. It's the Grand Slam championship. this was a good match, I thought. Darby at one point like got on the mic in the middle of the match, which Excalibur was like, we've never seen this before. And I was like, yeah, we never have. Like, where did the mic come from? Why? He couldn't just yell really loud, but he got on the mic and was like, hit me harder.
Doing some mentoring right there in the ring.
He said, you want to see how the sausage gets made? This is how you teach him. And in the middle of the match, Christian Cage came out and hopped on commentary. Darby also lost to Luchasaurus at All Out. And Christian is doing this bit he's doing where he keeps calling it our TNT title belt. Or he sometimes calls it mine. He sometimes calls it ours. Is so funny.
It's
Christian
so
is
funny. It's so
really
well
good.
He hits every note perfectly.
Yeah.
Just like, man.
Perfect.
Anything that you're interested to see from these guys going forward?
That was such a long pause. Am I interested? I mean, I guess.
That was the longest pause we've ever had on this pod. I've never seen my two co-hosts.
I just felt like there should be something. I felt like sometimes, like, when we do a discussion like that and, like, we get granular, it's sometimes nice to have one of us have a final comment and just be like, well, I'm just excited to see blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yes, that's a great rounding thing.
I just hope
and
they all
I
have
just
fun.
I just couldn't think of one.
My mind went so blank, and I was like, I hope Leah is about to say something, she was not.
It's so funny because I thought that we were all going to say the same thing, which is that I hope Nick Wayne gets poached by Christian, and everyone has to deal with that.
Okay, well, Allie, instead of asking us what we think, you could have just said that.
I just thought someone else was going to say it, and I didn't want to be a mic hog. I was trying to be a generous host.
She's trying to put us over, and we're blowing all our opportunities.
Hey, guys, come on. I'm jobbing for you here.
Okay.
Christian does need more people in his little family, so Nick Wayne will be a good dominion.
I know, and I think Nick Wayne can learn a lot from Christian Cage, so that'll be
totally.
I think that's like a good idea.
Having watched what has happened to JB in the past few years, I'm now like Christian Cage may be one of the best character teachers they have.
Yeah,
I think that's right. Yeah,
I think honestly. Should give him all the wrestlers.
JB.
The wrestlers that know how to wrestle and just need to learn to do promos. Yeah. I'm like, Christian Cage should just have a little,
have a little team.
Yeah.
A little team of little boys. And Nick Wayne, like, he hasn't, I mean, not to criticize this literal child, like he's 18, but it's like he's not showing a lot of personality yet. So it's like he's just kind of in this ingenue role, you know, so it'll be nice to see. Yeah. Like,
it's hard to tell whether that's him or whether it's just that they haven't given him anything yet, because really he hasn't really been on
the mic. Promo, really.
No. So, yeah. I mean, I think he did like a pre-tape where like he had like a voiceover, but I'm like, no, I need to have that moment where I'm like, oh, Nick Wayne's a freak. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
So
I think it's okay that like he's been a little in the background, and I just like the idea of him getting drawn into situations where he may do the wrong thing. And that's very important. We need to see men do the wrong thing before we can love them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
You know,
it's true.
Let's check in on Meatgate. So Hobbs and Miro fought it all out, which I don't think that any of us would have cared about that much at all.
No, Leah told us we had to watch it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys. So when I told you which matches you could skip, and I specifically didn't say anything about this one, were you guys wondering at all why I didn't have you skip this one?
I didn't remember it was on the card. And so you were just like, oh, don't skip anything. And I was like, sure, okay.
And I had gone limp. Like, I was just like, it's going to be too hard because we're doing this group watch with people all over the place, and it's not, we're not using an app, so we have to manually sync up. So I had just gone limp and was like, no, I don't want to skip anything because I can't be asked
having
to be
like,
do anything
no,
once it's started.
Everyone go to 1543 and I'll count to start us off again. Yeah.
Which can't keep doing this, Daniel.
To clarify for listeners, we did hold through to our promise that we did not pay for All Out. And,
we didn't pay for All Out.
We pulled a Cody, if you will.
We pulled a Cody. And it wasn't because we had heard CM Punk fired. And honestly, I did feel a little bad because I was like, okay, Tony, I'm willing to support you, but I had already gotten myself mentally prepared to watch it at a different time. So we did what we had to do. And to be clear, we bought a lot of pay-per-views from this
We
man.
Buy a lot of pay-per-views.
We buy a lot of pay-per-views.
You know, it financially. Just sunk in that we're going to have, he invented another fucking pay-per-view, WrestleDream.
I'm so upset about it.
I'm supposed to pay for WrestleDream in October and then Full Gear in November? What are we doing here?
I don't know.
It's absolutely
but
ridiculous. I am drowning in grain.
I think, it's a lot of wrestling, but we're really going to have to sit down maybe and talk about, like, maybe I can screencast to my TV or something. There's a limit on Bleacher Report. Guys, this is a good thing for us to talk about. There's a limit for how many TVs can watch a pay-per-view, but it's like four more people can watch via computer. So the real problem is just that we all want to watch on our TVs.
Yeah.
But if we start to investigate some ways to get those computers onto the TVs, we can make this more affordable, which we're going to have to do because the man is really cutting into the spending money.
I know. We have to, but the problem is that like the time for experimenting never feels like when the pay-per-view's on.
No.
We need to
buy a pay-per-view we don't care about.
Exactly. I was just going to say, like, we need to, what other pay-per-views does Bleacher sell? Let's buy a boxing pay-per-view, and then we'll get four girls to all try to screen share it at the same time.
I think we're on to something financial responsibility-wise here.
What if we bought, and this is a dangerous thing to say, what if we bought a boxing pay-per-view, and just to test this out, and one of us said at the beginning, oh, it would be so funny if we got into boxing.
We said, I hope this doesn't awaken anything in me.
And then, you know, it's like 3 hours later, suddenly we're boxing girlies.
It's too dangerous. We're weak-minded. We can't expose ourselves to it.
Yeah. Maybe they sell like golf pay-per-views or something. I know I'm not. I know the golf can't get me. So.
They're golf begging people to watch golf on like broadcast channels.
They're begging people anymore. Golf has been having a moment since the pandemic. I'm not every man that I know in the Twin Cities is a golf obsessive now.
It's
sick.
Yeah,
but they do have some. They have some funny. Like
they just
channels.
Want to go for walks with their friends. It's just an excuse.
It's true.
For
and drink beers
nice
on the course. But some of them do watch. I'll have to check in with Josh about this. He's still watching these. It's like YouTube reality shows, but with like golf crews. like friend, like golf friends. And I liked
That's
nice. I mean, I didn't like the sound of it, but I liked that that there was something there for those.
You know, just a show about friendship for men. Yeah, it sounds nice.
So we still haven't explained what happened in this office.
No. What topic are we on?
We're on meat. Meat.
Meat. Sure, sure, sure.
Hobbs and Miro fought. They're both big men, big meaty men slapping meat. And the crowd in the middle of the match just started screaming meat at them.
So funny.
As far as we can tell, Miro was like, yeah, we got to go with this to Hobbs, and was like, so now we're going to be slapping each other. It seemed clear they called a bit of an audible, and we're like, yeah. Now we are doing meat slapping match, and the crowd loved
so funny.
It.
When on the wind up, the crowd would be like, oh, and then meat. It's just like, I'm glad we're having a good time here, boy.
My favorite one was holy meat, because holy instead of holy shit, it was holy meat.
They should be so grateful that that crowd rescued that match.
I know.
Like,
absolutely. The funniest tweet that I saw about this, I think, was the person who tweeted that little like conversation with CM Punk being like, I know they'll be missing me and cheering for me at All Out. How's it going, Dax? And Dax goes, for some reason, they just keep talking about meat.
They're really excited for meat, and everyone's forgotten that you exist already. Yeah.
Just crazy.
Let me ask you girls a question.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to design a meat shirt for the AEW populace, would you have chosen a Rent design? Rent.
I actually do kind of like. Like, I'm like, that T-shirt doesn't make sense. But when I think of like a wrestling musical that's just called Meat, I actually love that. I'm actually
that
so interested in that.
That is true. When you
so
say it
for
that
me,
way.
This was a win. This is it's a clean, strange design that makes no sense. But for me, it's an A+, two thumbs up.
My little brother collects strange T-shirts he finds at thrift stores, and I honestly God think that he would have a conniption if he pulled out of a bucket like just a T-shirt that said meat with a red squares. Yeah. Like, I just think he would be like, sold.
You should literally buy it for him for Christmas.
I think I might.
It's so funny. I mean, it's very, like, a lot of wrestling shirts, you're like, well, I could never wear this to anywhere but a wrestling show. But, like, this meat shirt, like, I maybe would just wear it.
I always think, like, if somebody looked up at it in a, I'm sharing the Target, like, Swiffer product aisle with a woman, and she looks up and sees my T-shirt. Is she afraid of me, or is she, like, happy? And I feel like meat is fine.
I think meat's great, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a friendly shirt, yeah.
Especially, like, if it was, like, on a man, but on a woman.
On a woman. on a woman, it's just almost fun. Every wrestling shirt is great, actually. Yeah.
I think that I just had a thought, but I've completely lost it, so that's fine. Miro's hot wife debuted, and her boobs were, like, crazy out.
Yeah. Her skirt was really short, too. It was like, oh, Lana, hi.
It's kind of like earlier when we were talking about, like, sometimes in wrestling, it's like, women must be so sexy. This was really one of those times. It was kind of a classic must be so sexy vibe.
Mm-hmm. It was like someone had come over straight from WWE. It was already at Raw, and she just ran over, yeah.
Now, you guys know my pet theory that Miro has been refusing to do programs because he said, you must hire my hot wife. And that TK was being like, I really don't want to hire your wife. I'd really prefer not to. I now will be starting a conspiracy theory that as TK realized I'm going to have to can Punk, he said, fine, I'll fucking hire his hot wife. And then maybe he will actually do a GD program.
I like the idea that he has, like, merchandise in, merchandise out.
It's like, well, we got a spot now. And then Ace Steel got fired today, so, like, we got a lot of stuff going on.
We can get someone else backstage. That's pretty exciting. Meet forever, am I right?
Wait, this was great.
Forever.
And Miro acting like he was hallucinating, saying you're not real and running away from his hot wife. Like, Miro's so weird and so funny, like...
I want to be clear. I did see. I was like, yeah, we haven't talked about that. But I like that both of you were like, she cannot move on without making it clear.
Whereas I was just like,
and we don't really have time to get into that, so we won't be. But yeah, he did act like she was a hallucination. She did. And so you guys were right to pull me back and to say, whoa.
Our smooth brains now, like, yes, we both have something to say.
It's like, Miro is a weird girl. Like, Miro is a deeply weird girl. And so what are you doing, babe? Like, what does
this
mean?
He's in, like, a huge, sexy body, and he's the weirdest dude on
Earth.
He's
the weirdest dude. And so it's the idea that he's like, this is the story I want to tell. I am haunted by the specter of my hot wife.
Talked about my hot, flexible wife for like 2 years on the air, and now, yeah, it's gonna be a hallucination.
I think it must have been like a podcaster or something who said, they were like, I think that Miro has a specific story he wants to tell, and that's why he's been so picky about his feuds. And I am just like, what story? So he was fighting God, fucking his hot wife, but now we find out he doesn't think his hot wife is real.
But aren't you, like, a little bit intrigued? We were like, Tony, you should have given him a little bit of leeway here, because he's cooking. Yeah.
He's cooking. You think that Tony should have given Miro more leeway than just letting him get paid to do nothing for 2 years?
Yeah, well, how does it benefit me to have Miro sitting at home? I want Tony to give
so
Miro
you think
all.
Day one, Tony should have been like, you may have your hot wife.
Yes. Oh.
And so Miro comes in. It's like, and what can we do to make you happier? Miro says, hire my hot wife. And Tony should have just said, done.
Well, I mean, ideally, Tony would have been like, and what will you do with your hot wife? And Miro says, glad you asked. It's sort of a Stephen King thing.
Kind of.
You did. I did just hear that. I did just hear, what will you do with your hot wife? In the cadence, the Dirty Dancing cadence.
And how will you call your
lover boy?
The thing, actually, well, we can't really get into it. I remembered the thing that I forgot a couple minutes ago, which is just that when we were talking about Meat Rant, the t-shirt, I thought, like, is it clear to anybody in, like, a hiring position at AEW what a pittance you could pay to have an artist on staff who just makes t-shirts for you and does an absolutely amazing job.
God. From
the
what
amount
I hear,
as an artist you get paid, it's small. It's small.
I hear about all of my graphic designer friends, they don't enjoy being paid well. Like, they don't have that.
You don't have the opportunity.
They don't have the opportunity. So Tony can really do something there.
I mean, the man just got, he's got millions up in the air right now. Because, it's like, he could be paying, that's why I was thinking, like, was it a cost issue for Lana?
Yeah.
Perhaps, but, I mean, if it gets Miro out there.
Right. I'm very curious about how that works. Because, like, from what best friends and, like, the elite have talked about, like, I think, like, they control their, like, merch stores, right? So, like, they buy it from the artist and then they can sell it. But Tony must have his hand in some of it. So, like, it would be nice if they had, like, an artist on retainer that, like, you could
like
just
meet
with.
Like, an artist in residence. Like, they just have, like, a...
And, like, you'd have
you
to pay
them
in the
post.
End.
Yeah.
Something.
I'd love it if they just had shirts that weren't black and that looked
absolutely
like something an adult would wear.
I have never in my life tried to contact a celebrity for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
But the amount that I desperately wanted to message Matt Jackson's wife and be like, I need that fucking Maui shirt to be in a different color. I need it to be in a different
honestly,
color.
Honestly,
it
should
be
available. Honestly, I think you should.
I
think that you should reach out to Matt Jackson's wife and just say, just a little birdie in your ear. Women are dying to buy Young Bucks shirts in colors, in fun colors.
In colors. Yeah. I cannot buy a black shirt.
Honestly, if they could do something about, like, the women's cut of the shirts and the quality, like, that would also be nice. Like, I'd love it if they just had, like, women's shirts that looked like they
and
should fit a woman.
Please. We're not asking for the moon here.
Right, yeah. Okay. I know.
Bring it down. Bring it down.
I'm dreaming too big. I just love it. A blue shirt. Yeah.
I just want to disclaim what's happened here. I want to be clear that I think that these artists should be paid very well But that paying an
artist
very well to a billionaire is like giving a little ant a huge pretzel, basically. Yeah. Like, you're just like, it's a pretzel to you, but it's everything to Ken.
That's right.
You're right to clarify, but it is very funny to imagine people come out of a conversation with us being like, those girls do not respect artists.
No. They think they should get paid nothing.
We only respect artists. Well, we're still in the meat section. So
we're not speeding
guys,
through this.
Guys, should this be the first ever episode that we don't mention the elite? We just cut
it
here?
So you know, they look personally.
Their bodies were juicy, like blah, blah, blah. You know the drill.
Their bodies look good. No, we have to, you know what? We have to get in here because this is the section where we really can finally get back to our roots. And we want to talk about these bodies.
We do want to talk about bodies.
You know? We want to talk about them. Hangman won the All Out 0 Hour Charity Battle Royale. I don't even know if that's the title. I just typed stuff that seemed like it could be right.
I mean, it was right.
No, it's the over budget charity battle royale. Cause I think about the fact that this was just like, oh, Tony Khan has too much money and wanted them to fight it out to decide who he gave it to is crazy.
That's actually kind of funny when you think somebody, a millionaire with $1 million contract was fired with cause, which means they didn't pay it out. So there's just like $50,000 like lying around.
Okay. That would have fucking ruled. If they made it explicitly like, what should we do with CM Punk's paycheck?
Like, I think
throwing
that
it at Miro's
connects.
Hot wife, the Chicago public schools, like, yeah.
I really wish that every week we got a poll. This would get people tuning in, okay? You could do this on Collision. We get a poll on TV. It's kind of like American Idol where you call in. That's like, Tony has $50,000. He's either going to spend it on this or he's going to spend it on this.
You're texting in votes for your favorites? Yeah, yeah. That's engagement farming. That's
how you bring
your brain.
Are you listening?
That's how you bring the women in.
That's how you do.
Yeah, and you charge 6 cents a text. You know, that's fine. I'll vote 10 times, and then you've got all that money to give away to public schools. Also,
what? You guys
should,
vote
like
for
actually,
Kelly and Justin?
No, I didn't watch at the time. I was a PBS
no, I
kid.
Didn't either.
So
I did watch it.
And I was watching educational programming.
Who did you vote for, Leah? Who were you voting for?
Well, I don't want to discuss that at this time.
Oh, were you a Justin girly?
He just had nice eyes.
I mean, he has very sweet eyes, but he didn't really stand the test of time, did he?
No, he did not. I believe
but
he
you
only
can't,
ever
you can't
appeared
always
on.
Know.
No,
you can't always know. It's true.
I believe
you know,
big claim to fame is from Justin to Kelly.
It's a classic, yeah.
Should we talk about the elite?
Oh, I actually was going to talk about how I saw a TikTok from David Archuleta today, but we could discuss the elite. That is a good idea.
So, welcome to our chit-chat hour.
I don't know that it's been a longer week than normal, but my energy definitely is like, it's Friday, baby. I got to hang with my friends. I got to say some stuff that's on my mind. Most of it has nothing to do with wrestling. Okay, I think we can do this. Whew, okay, Hangman won the over-budget charity battle royale and donated $50,000 to Chicago Public Schools. He got an in-ring promo to talk about it on Dynamite this week that was interrupted by Swerve Strickland. I think that Hangman was getting into it with the Mogul Embassy in this battle royale.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, so Swerve said everything that we've all been saying and thinking for the past year. It was the most horny, cathartic experience of all time. To watch two beautiful men glare at each other, nose to nose, while one of them is basically like, no one values you the way that they should, and you're the cornerstone of this company, and you should have everything in the world, but you don't. And like the heel framing is like, and I would have, like, because it's your fault. But then you just really feel that it's, like, everyone's looking at Tony backstage, like, Tony. What do you think about that, Tony?
Was it, Tony? Yeah. I know he was bringing up, like, no new merch, no new gear. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's true. Hangman hasn't been hasn't been doing a lot of things of late.
To be honest, it was just a really sexy, erotic experience.
I felt like so many people in the company were like building each other up so much in promos, which like it was just really striking how much of it there was. I felt like, oh, team spirit has returned to the locker room.
It's crazy how when you watch two people interact and they might be saying mean things, but you know in your heart that they're thinking nice things. That's actually more pleasant to watch than when you watch people say mean things knowing that they're thinking mean things.
Yeah,
that's not as pleasant to watch.
No, I like the safety that's there in fiction, to be honest.
I did feel really safe when Swerve Strickland was standing there saying mean things to Hangman. I did feel really safe, and I felt like, if you want to kiss after this, that is so cool too.
They're so beautiful.
It's your choice, but you are welcome, the two of you, and Hangman's body, and that's all I'll say about that. Leah, what were you gonna say?
I just thought that Swerve was, you kept calling him Swerve Strickland, and I kept being like, that's so formal. We're just addressing him by his full name. We're like, really? And then it got stuck in my head. Anyways, Swerve, like, his speech a little bit, he just kept being like, and all of these bad things are happening, and you're not doing what you need to do. And I just kept thinking he was going to end it with, and if you join the Mogul Embassy, I'll take care of you. I'll make you gear. I'll make you a t-shirt. You'll be a winner again. And I was like,
you could be my mob wife.
But don't you think that would be a killer feud? Where if Swerve was like, come with me, come to my castle and I'll treat you like a princess. And Kenny's like, what the fuck? I just got him back.
Okay.
It would be nice to see Kenny like jarred into some emotional dysregulation lately.
I would like to see Kenny really seem to care about anything because he just seems like a little tranquilized.
Kenny's state of emotional dysregulation right now is like he's in the stage of depression where you like aren't even thinking about whether you're depressed yet, actually. You're just like, I wonder why I sleep till 1 p.m. every day and feel interested in doing anything.
I'm not interested in doing the things that usually bring me pleasure, but I
guess I'll go back to
bed. Yeah.
It's just the changing of the seasons, so it'll be fine.
It's just October, probably.
So I thought Swerve's vibe here was really like, you need to, you better shape up because I need a man. And my heart is set on you. You're the one that I want. I need to fight. Yeah, I need to fight you, and I need to fight you at your best. So you need to get there for me. And then he also said, "I'm gonna walk you like a dog."
What did that mean? I don't know. I don't fucking
give a shit. My eyes were so big, and I was doing the drool gif.
I know.
Yeah,
that is something I need to get. We need to like reach out to the men to be like. And when they said, "Walk you like a dog,"
what does that mean?
What did you visualize?
What does that mean?
What did you experience?
For me to hear that, I was like, that was a visceral experience, full body, just like, hello.
That's exactly okay. I just sat up and went, hello.
I mean, this was a great promo from Swerve. He just nailed every second of this. Absolutely. It was so good.
We want to watch do you guys? Maybe on Tumblr we'll post this stanza from James Wright that to me I was like, this is what's happening. James
maybe
Wright,
you
great
should read
poet.
It right now.
I think I should read that stanza.
I should. Yeah, you should.
It really hit me pretty hard today when you put it in there.
Yes. The poem is called Autumn Begins in Martins Ferry, Ohio, if you want to look it up. But it's just this last stanza that goes, therefore, their sons grow suicidally beautiful at the beginning of October and gallop terribly against each other's bodies. And he's talking about high school football, I think. But
He gets it.
Guys, James Wright, underrated. But if you guys are looking for a poet, and just get into him because he really is he's really the guy. And that is exactly that's just what I thought. When I saw these bodies in proximity to each other.
You want
to
see them
stage in the
terribly
wind.
Against each other.
Suicidally beautiful is right. And gallop terribly against each other's bodies. I mean, it's, and that's what, when wrestling is good, that's what wrestling is.
So true.
These beautiful men who cannot stop themselves from
galloping.
I do need Swerve galloping. To keep his hair Matt Jackson and not Nick Jackson, because I did. The body was beautiful. The hair had to go up a little higher.
Okay. I didn't mind it, but I am going to defer to you. And if anyone asks me, I'll say, as Leah said, whatever okay. Leah asked for.
Your tone a little bit is like, you know I'm about to get canceled, and you're like distancing yourself preparation. No. Leah said that actually. If you wanna discuss that comment, you could just chat with Leah.
No, I was trying to communicate the tone of like a good, not a sitcom husband, but a good husband who's like, my wife really cares about this, and I don't. So I'm happy to let her have it. And if anybody wants to talk about it, and they're like, do something else, I'll say, no, Leah wants it this way. So. We're actually going to do it that way, because that's what Leah wants. So that is how I intended it. I don't think you're going to get canceled.
I hope not, because I love Swerve. To be clear, I love Swerve.
Will I get canceled if I say what we said to each other, which is that he should be maybe wearing breeches, like Regency, like breeches. And yeah. And I thought his pants did kind of look like breeches, but then let's get those riding boots on. And then I thought, let's get breeches and riding boots on Hangman. And then I thought, put both men on horses.
Now we're cooking, and it's a Georgette hire.
Now we got a stew.
The new Earl has perpetual
stew. Yeah.
No, the other. What is this quote I'm thinking of? Well, I'll look into it later. Okay. Oh, is this? Do you think this podcast is going well?
I think it's going. It's hard for everyone who's joined us from One Nation Radio, thinking Leah sounded really like articulate and thoughtful.
I didn't.
Well, this welcome is what to our podcast.
Is. Yeah. Now you got a stew. Like,
I'm not even like, oh, we should have done a better podcast. I'm like, this is what they should expect.
No, it is. Yeah, it's like, this is who we are. So
we're not going to change. And, you know, so take me, baby, or leave me. Kenny fought Takeshita at All Out, and Takeshita won clean. Now, I love Kenny so much. And I did think that this match, I could tell it was great. And I don't, nobody yell at me, okay? But I was really sleepy. And what did was this before or after the Bucks?
Before, I think. Because I also could not wake up for this one.
Was it Bucks and then Kenny?
I thought it was Kenny, then Bucks, and then main event is what I thought. But maybe I'm wrong.
That. Well,
let's bring
you
up
know
a
what?
Sexy little cage match. I cannot remember. Bum, bum, bum.
I'm going to let you do that just because I'm trying to accurately recreate my emotional state, but Anne is probably right. Regardless, it'd been a long night of wrestling, and we liked a lot of it, and some of it was less interesting. Yeah. A lot of it was good. It was a really good show.
Takeshita, then Bucks, then Orange Cassidy.
Oh, that's right. It was getting late.
And then, yeah, then
it was
the
getting
Bucks
late,
and
we were having this conversation where we were like, it's getting so late, but we have to see the main event. And someone said, like, well, could we skip whatever's next? And we were like,
yeah,
we can't.
Right.
It's the Bucks. Anyway, but we'll talk about them in a second. The Bucks did wake us up. And it's not that Kenny – look, we love Kenny, and we think he did a great job.
I think the problem with this one was that it's like they've done a lot of build, but it's all Don Callis talking, and, like, you haven't really gotten much between Kenny and Takeshita themselves. Takeshita's just the stooge, and Kenny has hardly said anything. So
they've
it's
barely
just like,
been in a position to kiss, which I'm like, it's difficult for me to get where I need to be if I haven't seen that.
Exactly.
I didn't watch it at nighttime because I had to watch it before you guys. So I think it was just in a different mindset. So like, I was very awake for it. So I really did enjoy the match. I thought it was like really like good wrestling, and like I was actually paying attention, which is not true of all wrestling, but I do agree, like it is just true that like this is like the point where like, you know, Hangman wrestles Juice Robinson instead of Jay White, you know what I mean? Like Takeshita's not
the
guy in this
center.
feud, you know, like this is so, but like the thing is that like Kenny's never going to be able to wrestle Don Callis,
right.
So like I don't really know where it was like supposed to go doing. At some point I think they missed a beat where like Kenny or Takeshita had to step forward and be the face of the feud, but they didn't because they haven't had a chances to do much promo stuff.
Though. Yeah.
And Don is been, so good.
Don is so good. I love every promo he does. Yeah.
And we've talked about, like, there just have been a lot of factors, and they had to be really flexible going into these pay-per-views, clearly, and, yeah, for sure. You know, whatever. It's like, it's not recriminations, but yeah. It is, like, with Kenny right now, I do keep having a little bit of a like, therapy impulse where I keep wanting to be like, and how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Like, because
no, I agree.
It's like,
yeah.
Even we're getting, like, his sit-down with JR, and he did such a good job. Like, it was like a great sit down where he's saying insane stuff in like kind of a just normal little way, but that normal little way of how he's saying it makes me be like, okay, well, at a certain point, Kenny, you're gonna have to start kind of having a breakdown when as you actually process some of the things you've been saying.
Yeah I mean, because a lot has happened to Kenny this year, like in kayfabe, that he's just sort of accepted, you know, like,
yeah.
The thing, like, it was, I did think it was strange that, like, the nod finally came out and Kenny was just, he was like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, and, like, he was, like, pretty, like, normal about it, which is not normal for Kenny. And then Hangman came back and Kenny was mad about it for 10 seconds. And I'm talking about kayfabe only. Like, obviously we know why things happened. But, like, he was mad about Hangman and then he just got over it. And then...
There've been a lot of missing beats.
Yeah, Ibushi came back, and he was just uncomplicatedly happy about that. And then, like, I just feel like he isn't reacting to anything the way I would expect him to. He's just not.
Yeah,
everything's very muted, which
it
has to mean that there's going to be an explosion at some point. You would hope.
You'd think so. Yeah. I mean, the other reason to be having a lot of muted reactions is if you're in a place where you're like, I actually don't know what we're going to have to do with this. So I don't, I'm not trying to react in any specific way and then retcon it. But it's like, we're reaching, like, now is the moment, not pressuring you, Kenny, I love you so much. But now is the moment where I begin expecting to see some emotional beats that I can, like, grab onto a little better. And again, the men did really amazing wrestling. I do know that. I know that they did. But
at this point, like, they are set up where it's like, hopefully they will be more emotional, like, outside of kayfabe, like, emotionally regulated. They've resigned. Yeah. Punk is gone. Like, things can calm down. Because also they're setting up this thing where it's like, Kenny lost again. He's been losing a lot. Like, the Bucks have lost a lot, which is all very early AEW. It'll be interesting to see if they, like, pick up some of those threads also. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. So this is the match that we did wake up for. So the Bucks and FTR fought Bullet Club Gold. Really tried to say Battlestar Galactica. they fought the Cylons at All Out and lost. But also I've said here one in that the match, I was not happy about FTR being present, but it fucking slapped. This match was so fun. Yeah. This match rocked.
I thought it was better than the All In one, like, in terms of enjoyment.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Like, actually, like, by a pretty big factor for me, where I was like, this felt so much looser, like more organic, more chaotic in a good way. Everything about it, awesome.
The chaotic energy, like, coming out of Bullet Club Gold was so fun. And, like, the Bucks, too, and FTR, obviously. But FTR didn't drag it down, where often they kind of would because they're not fun, but they used them well.
Well,
and
they only had the two moments that I wanted to push their faces in the dirt.
Yeah.
And then during the BTE trigger with Matt, when Dax looked at his wrist like he was bored, I was like, okay, well, you can go die.
Yeah.
I think he was doing a CM Punk thing then, I thought. I think
was
that's
the
what
wrist
someone
thing
said.
Also Punk?
Something that he did that,
it was,
I think,
whatever
in that
it was
spot.
Was disrespectful. I'm sure it did. I wasn't sure exactly what the reference was, but it was disrespectful.
Someone will probably
when I said
correct
die,
us, but,
by the way, when I said die, I didn't mean die. Just to be clear. Don't care.
And we do think that artists should be paid fairly, okay? So
we just run a disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast that's like, before you listen.
As
we don't want anyone
son,
to die.
Greg, as our beloved son Greg once said, and it changed us forever, I think we've been fine this whole time.
I think we've been fine this whole time, yeah.
We have to go back and find that clip and post it.
We should. It's so funny.
On Twitter.
It really has changed my life.
It reshaped us pretty
much. I know. It was just like his voice and his face were like, Dustin said something about getting canceled, and he was just like, why? I think we've been fine the whole time.
He's just so mild.
And the thing is,
it's
like,
so funny.
In a sense, they had been fine the whole time, I'm sure. But in another sense, I bet they had not been.
I think they were right on the line of not being fine, but they kind of kept it on the right
cruised
side.
Cruised it.
We'll have to ask Caroline where that came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I think they did a good thing in this match where FTR are not always good at playing the straight men in a purposeful way that enhances what's happening. That's how they used them in this match, and that was good. It was good to do spots where FTR were like, I would like to do more serious fighting, and the Bucks were kind of like, I don't really have time to deal with that right now. We're doing this crazy thing that we do. I thought that was good. You guys want to talk about the general crowd reaction from Chicago?
Ruled the fact that the Bucks are constantly able to do this. So they come out to, like, a pretty mixed reaction, I would say.
They were like a 50-50.
You talked about it on One Nation Radio, too, but it's like the Bucks are the only, like, Hangman, huge pop. Kenny, huge pop. The Bucks, they get some booze. Just like,
they,
guys.
Well, it's like they get blamed for everything, even though, like, they were not the only culprits. But
no,
still,
at all.
But, like, the vibe of the crowd that whole night was sort of like, we are here to play our role, and we're very involved, and we're very interested, and we're going to play. And I sort of felt like they were like, our role is to boo the Bucks. And then after they initially did it, they were like, but our role is to have fun. And they're so much fun.
They did a boo for the music hitting, but then they got a pop when they actually came out. Like, I mean, it was still mixed, but it was from what you could hear, it was more of a pop. And then you want to talk about what happened in the match?
They got two different Young Bucks chants, which was huge. Like, when they started hitting their moves, the crowd was cheering.
I just want to flag, though, that it was that specific moment where it's like, I think Matt had gotten tagged in or something, and the crowd loves booing Matt Jackson more than they love booing but where he was kind of hamming it up, but then they hit a series of moves, like they were like really going crazy, and the crowd went crazy, and it's just like, when people are watching the Bucks, they love watching the Bucks.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucks are so good, too, because they never look gotten to with the boos. They're always just like, yeah, boo us. Like, here we are. And they do their little hip thrusts and stuff and lean into it. And then the crowd always comes around, which is pretty impressive.
A mixed crowd reaction. That's Matt likes that. It's the same way he likes his nuts.
Nice.
And that's a BTE joke.
That's a BTE joke. Very, very fun. Very fucking fun match. And then people were mad at them afterwards because they said they were making fun of CM Punk by prancing pony around the ring.
They were like, they were taking a victory lap. And it's like, you guys.
And good for them.
That's crazy because they actually did take a victory lap on Collision, but not during All Out.
And then people are like, they drove him out. And it's like, they really didn't drive him out. Like, whatever. But
the amazing thing about CM Punk is...
They said, oh, no, look, a banana peel's on the floor. And then CM Punk said, is it a banana peel? And then he tripped. And they said,
ran right into it.
You sure didn't trip on that fucking banana peel, you dumbass.
It's like they're like, we said don't trip on the banana peel. And CM Punk was like, don't tell me what to do.
Fuck off. And he ran right at it. Yeah. And also, like, for people being like, oh, they're celebrating that they did it. It's like, you know, one time at work, there was this man who was senior to me but very incompetent, and he was not in charge of me, but he kept trying to tell me what to do, things that were wrong, and he was very condescending. So he was, like, my work nemesis. And then he was fired on my birthday, and it was great day. And I just think, you know, if the Bucks are feeling that, like, let them have a great birthday.
Listen, the vibes of both All Out and Dynamite from every single fucking performer was this mood. So, like, why are the Bucks not allowed to feel good, but literally every other person was?
Right, exactly. It's crazy. It's just
they just get scapegoated, but...
Freddie Prinze Jr. is celebrating. Come on.
Yeah.
Every wrestler talking to Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, if Punk's not there, I'll be there.
It would be my pleasure.
Unless you hire Phil.
I cannot believe I thought that we only had the strap match. I cannot believe we still have this whole better than you, baby. We can't do it. Like, we what do you want to say about this? Like, what do you want to say? You know?
About Bebe?
About Bebe.
I Bebe. Just want to talk about Samoa Joe. Can we just briefly talk about the fact? Okay. So when we were at, when I was at ONR, I said something like, Samoa Joe doesn't talk and I don't know who he is. And both of them made this incredible face where they were like, Samoa Joe is one of the best talkers of all time. And I was like, okay, footage not found. Because
not at AEW.
He's been here for over a year. Would you say it's close to two at this point? He's been here.
Feels like it. A while.
Year and a half. He's been here a while. But, and he hasn't given a single promo where he's told me anything about, now, to be granted, I haven't watched Collision, so I don't know if that he's been doing that with Punk, but, like, up until Collision, he's never done that.
And he gave one pre-Collision promo, pre-tape, I think maybe when he was fighting Darby, where I think we all said, but, of course, I don't even remember the content. I wouldn't expect you guys to remember the promo. We all said, wow, that's the first time we've been interested in Samoa Joe. He actually said something. And then he did not ever do it again. So we have seen an instance of it once, but I don't think we've ever seen him do an in-ring, whole in-ring thing.
I really don't think so. So I was shocked at All Out when, like, he did the whole, like, jostling MJF and then was, like, weirdly interesting about it. And then he was, like, smirking in a way that I found. I was like, oh, I'm interested. And then that fucking promo that he did with MJF, he was riveting. I was very interested. Why did he just decide to be a person? Why did that happen?
I'm starting my conspiracy theory that Punk was shutting him down. Punk could not operate because Punk had his foot on Samoa Joe's neck. Now he is finally free.
It is crazy. I think sometimes people, like, with a good reputation come into AEW and just, like, want to coast on it a little bit. Actually, I feel like Punk kind of coasted as well, you know, whereas,
you
like,
think
just...
he kind of coasted?
Well, no, like, even before he was being a nightmare, it's like there was just so much time where he'd come out and get cheered for, like, 10 minutes, and it's like, yeah, like, give me some... Perform for me.
Yeah, right.
You're a performer.
Dance, monkey.
Yeah. Like...
Borg. But yeah, like, definitely Samoa Joe has not been trying. He has not been trying. And, like, abruptly he's like, okay, I'll try. And you know what? Like, I'm in such a good mood. he's picked the right moment because, like, I'm enamored of all of AEW right now. So I'm like, sure, I'll reevaluate.
I know we do all always say, now I'm quite at my leisure, but it's the source of that quote, which is the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice at the end. When the dad, Mr. Bennett, says, and if any other suitable young men come looking for a wife, like, send them in. I'm quite at my leisure. And this is actually the exact feeling that we're having, which is just like, so many shocking nice things have happened that certainly if you see something that could be good or could be a problem, send it in and I'll assess it.
So that's it. I just wanted to appreciate Samoa Joe for deciding to show up to class today.
Thanks for coming to work.
We loved it. And the one thing I would like to flag is that Roddy did do a little backstage promo about his rough home life that did, like, it was kind of the kind of promo that you would give when you have suddenly become, like, addicted to your own pain and you're just like, where can I find more of this, like, and so he's like going through old photo albums being like, and my parents actually never really loved me now that I think about it, while it's like his mom is like on the phone being like, understand, I just called to say hi. But I just thought I loved this, the way that Roderick Strong fought Greg this week, like, an absolute loon, like, it was so hardcore. I was like, this is great. I would love for his whole personality to now be, he's in the worst mood of his life every single day.
Yeah. He's communicating it so clearly. And in that promo, when he was sitting in the chair, like, it was a throne and the two kingdom guys were, like, flanking him in those kind of stiff poses.
I would just like to flag that the kingdom men have been rising and rising in my estimate. I wouldn't say that it is a, what kind of surge did we call it? Omicron surge. I wouldn't say it's a full Omicron surge, but it is like a midway.
It's more like it's like the COVID rise right now. It's like it's happening slowly, and I'm not paying a lot of attention to it. Yeah,
we're kind of just like keeping our eyes off of it.
Yeah, like, I can't deal with that.
It was just so crazy. It was such a deranged situation because, like, they were posing as if they were living statues.
Yeah.
And Roddy was, like, he was doing the throne thing, and the camera was so low, and it was, like, pointed up at him, which was just a strange angle. But then the things that he was saying where he was, like, my parents were drug addicted. I didn't have clothes to wear. I went to school naked. The kids threw rocks at me. And I was, like... Is this real? And then, like, I was seeing, like, actual, like kid photos, and I was like, am I supposed to be laughing? I think I am.
I have no choice.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
I have no choice. I must laugh. I love it. And I love the Kingdom's vibes. They were out there during the match just screaming things like, he has a bad neck, and like, watch out for your neck.
Roddy, your neck health.
Roddy, your neck health. So funny. Absolutely love them. Oh, and God. I'm like, Roddy, these guys are going to fuck you over at some point, too. You know that, right? Like, you've just gone from having one bad friend to having two bad friends who are hiding it better. I know that. I hope that when Roddy gets dicked over by them someday, could be years down the line, I hope that he starts stacking neck braces and it's one for every friend.
Oh, and Excalibur called him the jilted ex-friend of MJF, which I loved. Let's bring that language into his.
And it's lover language, which is perfect. Can I just say one final thing about Ricky Starks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ricky fought Bryan Danielson at All Out. They had a strap match. I don't understand. I don't know what the rules were. Don't explain them to me.
I was like less clear about them at the end of the match.
Less clear than ever. Yeah, absolutely no idea. Bryan Danielson choked Ricky out. Ricky didn't tap out. Bryan Danielson bigged Ricky up at the scrum. He's being like, Ricky got me through the match. Oh, I love you, Ricky.
It was
Starks.
So sweet that he said that. He was like, Ricky carried me. It's like, Bryan Danielson, that's clearly untrue, but that's very nice of you to say.
It's crazy that no one noticed that he didn't touch anybody with the hand that had broken, and none of us noticed.
I know. Well, because, I mean, you couldn't... Wow. I'm shocked that he didn't break the other arm, because...
Just wrestle, anyway.
So the straps are looped around their wrists?
Yeah.
If you loop a strap around my wrist is broken in 2 seconds. No one else touches it. I just trip over it and yank my wrist broken. I don't understand it. Whatever. Everyone loves this strap match. All the men say this is the best strap match of all time. I really enjoyed this strap match. I had a great time. I felt like kindly inclined towards Ricky at the end of this match. I thought you did a very good job. Good job, Ricky. But much better job, Bryan Danielson. Like, really, Bryan Danielson, for me, is kind of what made the match. But you were there, and you did good, too. Yeah. And then Ricky comes on Dynamite this week and cuts this fucking promo where, for the 90th time in the past 3 years, he's like, oh, everyone always writes old Ricky out, and nobody ever gives Ricky anything. Everybody else is eating. When is it Ricky's turn to eat? He didn't do it in third person. When will it be Ricky's time? If you don't shut the fuck up, it is your... You had a strap match with Bryan Danielson. Last year, you had a feud with MJF. You had a feud with Chris Jericho. You had a feud with... CM Punk, who you care about even if I don't, the best in the world. You have had so many high-level feuds, and 90% of the time, you are the one who fails to capitalize them on them by not showing us anything interesting about you as a character. And after every feud, you're like, no one will give old Ricky a chance. If I don't hear you say something else, roster. I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Say anything else.
They should not have let him split up from Hobbs, because that's the last time he was tolerable, to be really. Because it's just like this whining, like, I'm the best, but no one will give me a chance thing is just, it's so wild.
Bad. It's so terrible. Bad.
I understand. I think that in terms of, like, promo delivery, fine. Sure. Good job. Good promo delivery. I cannot hear this promo from you again. You need to figure out who your character is, and your character needs to care about something other than how he's not getting a chance, because you're just all, I guess you're just always going to be a mediocre heel. If that's the only thing you talk about, that's the kind of thing a mediocre heel talks mm-hmm. about.
And to be talking about it after, like, you were supposed to have the match with CM Punk, but he's gone now. But then they get you Bryan Danielson, whose arm is still, like, not in good shape, and he, like, does this incredible match with you. It's just like, what more could anyone ask mm-hmm. for, really?
Just be creative. I mean, there's so many, and we've seen many of them this week. People are doing a better job than ever of being like, what angle could I come at this from where mm-hmm. I sound like I'm mean and mad, but actually I'm, like, bigging myself and other people up. Just sit down at old Microsoft Word and type out some ideas, Ricky.
Every other set of promos in this company this week were like people being like, wow, that Moxley, I hate him so much. He's so good at wrestling. I just can't believe it. I hate how good he, you know, like they were all being like, you're incredible. And then Ricky's like, why won't anybody be nice to Ricky? And it's just like, Ricky, my God.
Oh, Ricky. I don't know. It's like, why didn't you do a promo, Ricky, where you talked up how like fucking cool Bryan Danielson is, and like your vibe was like, but next time I'm going to get you for real or whatever. Like, whatever. That's it. We can't keep doing this. No. We can't keep doing this. Even Sammy is doing a better job of trying to have some kind of narrative arc than you. And he's not doing a good job. He's doing a really bad job.
That's such a condemnation. That should set you on your heels, Ricky, to hear that. And Sammy's doing better character work? Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck. Well, we can't top that. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.